Hi, Jamie Lee.
Hi, Amanda. How are you going?
Good to talk to you too. So, swimmable rivers is kind of the big news of the week this week. There's been a lot of kind of condemnation and controversy around this. Has there been a reduction in water quality for this classification of what is considered swimmable?
I'm not a technical expert, so I'm not going to go into E. coli levels and everything, but the Ministry for the Environment says no, the Minister says no. I understand some of the confusion or difference of opinion is around wadeable standards versus swimmable standards. The bottom line is the goal is to get to 90% of all waterways being swimmable by 2040. We're currently at 72% of all waterways being swimmable, and so that's an increase. It also will require approximately $2 billion of costs that will be borne by government, local government, and dairy farmers and other farmers where they are putting in measures to reduce effluent flows to rivers, for example. So there's an improvement. That's the bottom line for people. There's an improvement. There's an aspirational goal of getting to 90%, and that's greater than what we have right now. And so we're moving forward. We're making progress, and I'm sure the experts will be working out the technical standards and how to look at them over the coming months.
Yeah, I think it has been talked about of this improvement, but is there an improvement to the water quality? It seems as if this announcement doesn't require any improvement to the water quality except for the very worst rivers, and instead changes that categorisation as what counts as swimmable or not. Is that correct?
I understand much of the changes in the standards relate to a standard around wadeability, whereas now the focus is on swimmability. If you're thinking about what's important to New Zealanders when it comes to waterways, it's not necessarily that they can wade in the water, but actually swim in the water. And to get to 90% by 2040 is pretty expensive, but a big goal. Some will say, why don't we go for 100% swimmability? Unfortunately, that's not practical or realistic. There are some lakes and waterways around the country where the natural environment means that through natural causes, they can't be swimmable. For example, there's some lakes down in the lower North Island where birds result in the water being unswimmable, and you just can't cull all the birds for that reason. So we're going for the 90% target. It's an improvement, currently 72%, and looking later on in our lives, Amanda, more waterways will be safer to swim in.
It's a good thing to hope for sure. I think just, speaking about birds as well, I know Forest and Bird came out against this announcement saying that at the moment the standard for the cleanest rivers allows a 1 in 100 chance of getting sick, and the proposal now is that there's possibly a 1 in 20 chance of getting sick as the top standard. How can that be?
Like, I respected Kevin Hague when he was an MP. He's a really good guy. But I'm not sure there's many matters with Forest and Bird and the national government end up agreeing on. They're quite regular, quite a regular organisation that criticises the National Party. As I said, I'm not a technical expert. I can't take you through the E. coli levels, and I'm not going to try. I'd be misleading you if I did attempt that. We're putting more money into clean freshwater cleanup. $140 billion has been announced by the Minister yesterday too for freshwater cleanup. There's going to be stronger standards for farmers to keep their stock away from rivers. There's going to be more funding through local government for cleaning up waterways too. We are making the waterways cleaner over the long term, and that's a good thing for New Zealand. I can't take you through E. coli standards though, Amanda. I'm just not a technical expert on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Minister and Forest and Bird disagree. The Ministry for the Environment and some other bodies disagree on this. We're putting more money into it, though, and we will see cleaner rivers.
All right, that's good to know. So moving on now, last week we didn't get a chance to talk, but I do want to touch on something that we'd planned to talk about, and that was the government's decision not to back the domestic violence leave bill, which would give victims of domestic abuse 10 days of paid leave to help them kind of improve their situation. Why did National decide not to support this bill?
Firstly, I think Jan Logie's onto something good that many employers are already doing, but we just come down on the side of it should be for the employers to decide to make this available, and many have, and for the government to go and require every single business in the country to make 10 days available, it could come at quite a significant cost. And we know through historical research that if you increase costs to businesses substantially in one big hit, it could lead to actual job losses, and having a job is most important for people. Where employers and employees believe it's necessary to have such leave and contracts, they can do that right now, as businesses are already doing that. And as you know, the annual leave entitlements have been increasing over the years as well. So sympathetic to the idea, but to require it at such a large cost, that's not something that we're quite comfortable with yet.
Yeah, I guess you mentioned about like having a job as being very important, and I agree. And do you not think that without this kind of mandatory leave, women will have to take it anyway and then suffer the loss of their job from taking that when the employer hasn't kind of built that into the system?
Look, I've visited many employers, and many of them are compassionate about their employees, and they want to see their employees do well, because good employees mean that they do better for the businesses and for the organisations. And most employers that I've met, they're very sympathetic to supporting people if they're in a very difficult situation. This can already be done though, and we've got a big work program about trying to reduce domestic violence, about shining the light on the area, about giving the police more resources to assist, about giving other NGOs opportunities to gain more funding to work with victims of domestic violence. I don't think anyone could say that we don't care about the issue. We're just not sure that mandatory requiring 10 days leave, which would come at a cost to the economy, is something that government should be doing when it can already be made available already.
Yeah, I guess obviously some employers wouldn't want to do that though, just because it might come at a loss for them. I guess doesn't that prioritise money over the safety of women and children in that case?
No. I think putting more resource and more assistance into helping victims of domestic violence is what is most important, and we're doing that. The legislation might assist in some areas, but you always have to weigh up the pros and cons, and I'd rather, as a country, we put more funding into support services, we put more funding into police services, we put more funding into providing safe opportunities for victims of domestic violence to get out of the family and have support. That's the priority, that's what we're focusing on. No amount of passing a law is going to solve the problem in one fell swoop. There's a whole range of measures that we're working on, and we'll continue to work on.